In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we celebrate today the feast of Christ the King, it is important that we listen to the words of Pius XI as he instituted this great feast for the whole universal church, reminding us from the prescience of his words over 100 years ago the reality of the world in which we find ourselves today. He writes, "We remember saying that these manifold evils in the world were due to the fact that the majority of men had thrust Jesus Christ and his holy laws out of their lives, that these had no place either in private affairs or in politics. And we said further that as long as individuals and states refused to submit to the rule of our Savior, there would be no really hopeful prospect of a lasting peace among nations. Men must look for their peace of Christ in the kingdom of Christ." I know you have heard of these words before because I have quoted them to you from this very spot. But again, it bears reminding that the reality that he portended over almost 100 years ago has now come to pass. Modern man has literally thrust Christ from the center of the world, almost pulled God from his heavens, and has replaced it with something that not only has brought about despair, it has brought about destruction, and has brought about death. And all of this, brothers and sisters, under the guise of freedom. Men will be better served if God no longer exists. Religion has no place in the world, in the lives of men. It serves only as a destructive and a binding force. And of course, the idea of kingship, that complete and total authority that is made manifest by any king, especially Christ, who is our king, is something that should be rejected out of hand in light of the freedoms that we believe we enjoy as Americans, guaranteed by the laws that we create, having little to no reference to the things of God. A crisis of faith, a crisis of leadership, a crisis of responsibility that has trickled down into the very fabric of the life herself. At every pressure point, at every data point, at every reality of the life of the church, it seems that which this Pope portended has indeed come to pass. And it goes back to that one simple and yet profound reality that men refuse to be governed by Christ, who is our King. He, of course, goes on to establish very clearly both the theological foundation of this, but just as importantly, in a sense, the natural relationship that all of us should have with Christ the King. And this, of course, is the most difficult thing for all of us to comprehend. I enjoy the freedoms that we have in this country. I enjoy the idea of those very freedoms, and I'm grateful for all of those who have secured them and continue to secure them for me. But in the final analysis, there is no governmental system, however great ours may be, that should take precedence to the authority and the dominion of Christ, who is our King. This is why to call ourselves American Catholics is to, in a sense, mix up the reality of who we actually are. We are Catholics living in America, because there are Catholics living all over the world. There may come a time when an America does not exist, and therefore there will no longer be these things called American Catholics. This, of course, was an accusation oftentimes hurled against us, that we as Catholics had divided allegiances to Rome and to our own country. But in truth, we do not have divided allegiances, because as Pius XI makes very clear, everyone is subject to the authority of our Savior. This subjugation is not only of a supernatural and a spiritual reality, this subjugation is of a natural reality. Therefore, all those who exercise authority over others, especially in the political realm, must have reference to our Lord when they exercise their authority. He's very clear about this. And let me repeat again what it is that he's actually saying, because it is good for us to remember this. That everyone who exercises temporal authority can only legitimately exercise that authority if they do so in reference to Christ, who is King. Presidents and kings of the natural order, prime ministers and governors and mayors, whoever they may be, must always understand that the authenticity and the power that they exercise
comes from Christ, who is our King. This is why what he writes, what remains true, as it has been, always will be, is profoundly difficult for modern men to comprehend. Yes, they may subject themselves on a supernatural level to the authority of Christ and Holy Mother Church, but to do so on a natural level is offensive to their sensibilities. I will exercise my relationship with God in private, we are told over and over again as Americans, but never in the public square, never to subject what it is we believe to others. Everyone is free to believe whatever they want. That is not true. We are not free to believe whatever we want, despite the fact that we live in a pluralistic society, because there is right and wrong, there is truth and there is lies, and we are all required, baptized into the truth, to preach and proclaim this truth, especially those who persist in darkness. The implications of celebrating this feast is not only a recognition of the triumph of Christ on the cross and the power and the dominion that has been gained by the shedding of his blood, but the very real responsibilities that all of us have in going forth and witnessing to this truth in the world. And if we do this rightly, brothers and sisters, we will suffer for this. We will be persecuted for this. Not only mocked and ridiculed, especially by the very ones who profess to love us, but very really and very truly run the risk of being put to death because of what it is that we believe. For in truth, some may find the manner in which we live our Catholic life to be seditious, to be treasonous. How can one put anything over the government and the governance of our great nation? Because any power only and always comes from Christ. And to truly exercise it in a manner that sets men free can only come from Christ. And of course, the beauty of listening to our gospel from St. John is that it is precisely the manner in which this power and this dominion and this authority is gained that gives us the proper understanding of this. The Lord, in response to Pilate, speaks about members of his kingdom rising up and protecting him from being put into the hands of the Jews. But in truth, he willingly submits in humility to the infamy of the cross in order to understand that true authority, true power, true leadership is not gained by force, but made manifest and real by sacrifice and the gift of life and service. This is what keeps all of us in the church of being triumphal in our own selves. Because if we want to share in the authority and the power of our King, if we want to truly be members of this kingdom, then entrance into this kingdom is purchased by the blood of Christ and by our willingness to shed our own blood as well. And again, let me be clear, the shedding of the blood is not merely a metaphor. It is a reality that may come to pass that you will be required to give your life in service to the truth. I say this not to frighten you. I say this to prepare you, because you are well armed to do precisely what needs to be done in order that all men may subject themselves to the authority of our Savior. But if we, brothers and sisters, as I have often said to you, if we are not doing this in our daily lives, then we simply cannot expect it to be happening in the world. The world in which we live today, and we know this very well, simply does not want what it is that we have. And the only way to convince them that they need this will not be by what we say, but by the manner in which we live our lives. And the more willing we are to sacrifice, to suffer, to die, the more willing we are to testify to the truth of Christ, regardless of how others will respond to us, in proportion to our willingness to do that, we will truly see the authentic transformation of society and culture. The cross is the throne upon which our King sits. He is crowned with thorns. He is roped with scourges. He is spat upon, mocked, and ridiculed. This is how the kingdom is born, and this is how the world will be transformed. It truly is a day of rejoicing. And at the conclusion of Holy Mass, in lieu of our normal prayers after Holy Mass, we will rededicate and reconsecrate ourselves and consecrate the human race to our Lord and King. I encourage you to be mindful of what it is that you were saying when you pray this prayer of consecration. I would encourage you to take it home with you and to make it part of your own spirituality throughout the coming months as we prepare for a new liturgical year, a new year of grace and favor. And to be reminded that we have a responsibility to restore all things in Christ, pure and simple. This is, after all, the reason we exist. If our Lord himself makes very clear that he came into the world, that this is the reason why, that he might be king, and this is how his kingdom would be established, then we who are members of his kingdom exist for one reason only, and that is to do and to live as he himself did and as he himself continues to live. And the only way we can truly fulfill this is to do what we are doing now. In obedience, come and enter into the sacrifice, to be nourished and fed by the blood and body of our Savior. And then with the Lord literally inside of us, as living tabernacles, we go out into the world and witness to the triumph and the power of Christ, who is our King. This will always be the truth, regardless of what the world may say. We who are members of this kingdom should rejoice and give thanks that we have been found worthy. And now in this sacrifice, strengthened by this very sacrifice, let us pledge to witness the power and the dominion through our lives of obedience to Christ, who is our King. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.